mankind back to the original state of his purpose from the very beginning. Now let's turn to John chapter 14, 18 to 26, and this is Jesus speaking here. John 14, 14, 18. Still doing some background here. Jesus is speaking. He's to his disciples, and he says to them, I promise that I will never leave you helpless or abandon you as orphans. I will come back to you. Soon I will leave this world, and they will see me no longer. But you will see me because I will live again, and you will come alive too. So when that day comes, you will know that I am living in the Father, and that you are one with me, for I will be living in you. Those who truly love me are those who obey my commands. Whoever passionately loves me will be passionately loved by my Father, and I will passionately love you in return and will manifest my life within you. Then one of the disciples named Judas, but that wasn't Judas Iscariot. That Judas is a common name. It's Judah. And then he asked him a question. He said, Lord, why is it you will only reveal your identity to us and not to everyone? And Jesus replied, loving me empowers you to obey my word. And my Father will love you so deeply that we will come to you and make you our dwelling place. But those who don't love me will not obey my words. The Father did not send me to speak my own revelation, but the words of my Father. I am telling you this while I am still with you. But when the Father sends the Spirit of holiness, which is the Holy Spirit, the one like me who sets you free, he will teach you all things in my name, and he will inspire you to remember every word that I have told you. Hallelujah. Glory. Jesus tells his disciples that the Father is going to send the Holy Spirit, and that the Holy Spirit is one with the Father and Jesus. Jesus says that he wouldn't leave them or us as orphans, or he wasn't going to abandon us or leave us helpless or handicapped in any way. He gave us his Spirit with all the power and authority that's in him. He gave to us. Now let's turn to Luke 17, 20 to 21. It says, God's kingdom realm within you. So Jesus was once asked by the Jewish religious leaders, when will God's kingdom realm come? Jesus responded, God's kingdom realm does not come simply by obeying principles or by waiting for signs. The kingdom is not discovered in one place or another, for God's kingdom realm is already expanding within some of you. Huh. Jesus and the kingdom of God are one. Jesus is in us, and God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is his kingdom. Jesus is the only way or the door or the key into his kingdom. The only way in is by receiving Jesus as Lord and Savior and repent of your sins and receive the Holy Spirit. His kingdom will then live in us, and Christ is the head of his body, which is the church. We are in him, he is in us, and with the Holy Spirit, we are all part of God and God's kingdom together. We are fully, perfectly united. I'm going to give you an illustration. Okay. I need the Father. Who wants to play the Father? Jim, why don't you play the Father? Come on up. Father God, Steve, you are Jesus.
Hi, son.
Okay. Listen to me. Okay. Stand here like this. Jesus. That way.
Holy Spirit.
Who wants to play? Need somebody powerful. How are you, Nick? Okay, come on, Nick. You're the Holy Spirit. Okay. All right, let's see. Rita, come on up. Stand close. Everybody's close. Close. You gotta just, I'm doing something here. Okay. That's right. That's what I'm talking about. Rita is a born-again Christian. Okay? So you got the Father, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and the Christian, and they are all one. All power is given right through all of them. Is that good? Can you see it now? Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the born-again Christian. Hallelujah. Thank you. Simple. Okay, let's turn to Galatians 2:20. Sometimes we just need a visual. Ooh, yeah. All right, it says in Galatians 2:20, my old identity has been co-crucified with the Messiah and no longer lives. Galatians 2:20. Think about this. Think about Jesus hanging on the cross, and we are too. Before we were born again, that old man, that old woman hung on the cross with Jesus. That's what it says here. Okay? It says, my old identity has been co-crucified with the Messiah and no longer lives, for the nails of his cross crucified me with him. And now the essence of this new life is no longer mine, for the Anointed One lives his life through me. We live in union as one. Bless you. It's true. My new life is empowered by the faith of the Son of God who loves me, so much that he gave himself for me and dispenses his life into mine. We are all one together. Isn't that powerful? So in 1 Corinthians 6:19, it tells us that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. It says, have you forgotten that your body is now the sacred temple of the Spirit of Holiness, or the Spirit of Holy Spirit who lives in you? You don't belong to yourself any longer, for the gift of God, the Holy Spirit, lives inside your sanctuary. That's inside us. You were God's expensive purchase, paid for with tears of blood. So by all means, then, use your body to bring glory to God. We house the Holy Spirit who is in us. The kingdom of God is in us. It is not a physical place. God's universal reign as creator and Christ's redemptive work is in us. God is eternal. The kingdom is eternal, and we are too. Think about that. And it's all to bring him glory on this earth. God needs for us to know the reality, really know the kingdom of God is in us and all the power we have in us by the Holy Spirit to be able to what? To stand, to fight, to believe, and come against all the workings of the Antichrist spirit and his plans and his evil ways in this world, and also to live out his destiny for each and one of us in total victory. Glory to God. The purpose of the power of the Holy Spirit is for us to be witnesses for Jesus. We are his voice, we are his hands, and we are his feet. Acts 1:8 says, "But I promised you this, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and you will be sealed with power. And you will be my messengers to Jerusalem, throughout Judea, the distant provinces, even to the remotest places on earth." We are a force not to be reckoned with. All of us need to position ourselves for the power of the Holy Spirit to be increased in this season, so God could be seen through us. This is the time, people. Chuck Pierce made a statement that the Jewish year 5784 is the door of promise. But we have to war for our promises. So don't stop using your voices to proclaim and declare and confess the word. In Isaiah 41:15, it says in the New American Standard, which I'll look that up. If you got that and you want to read it along, Isaiah 41:15. Chuck Pierce used this scripture. It's really incredible. It says, "Behold, I have made you a new sharp threshing sledge with double edges. You will thresh the mountains and pulverize them, and will make the hills like chaff. You will winnow them, and the wind will carry them away, and the storm will scatter them. But you will rejoice in the Lord, and you will give glory to the Holy One in Israel." Now I'm going to read it out of the Passion. It says, "I am making you into a powerful threshing instrument." In the footnote, that the threshing instrument is a two-mouthed sword, just like in Hebrews 4:12, when God is spoken, God's mouth, and is released in power, as it is spoken from our mouths. When God speaks and we speak, it becomes like a two-mouth threshing instrument. Woo! And then it says, "With teeth new and sharp, you will reduce hills to chaff and crush mountains into dust." Mountains in the metaphor means nations and strongholds and kingdoms. Okay? This is how much power we have, God. Guys? God too, yes, I know. He's agreeing. "You will widow them, and the stormy wind will blow them away. Then you will spin and dance with rejoicing in Yahweh, boasting with admiration in the Holy One of Israel." Praise you, Jesus. Woo! That is powerful stuff. Remember all the powerful weapons that we studied? The Lord has given us 7. Word of God, faith, blood of Jesus, the name of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, prayer, and praise and worship. With our mouths, we are weapons. In 2 Corinthians 10, 3-4, it says we can dismantle, we can demolish, and we can break and destroy all strongholds and imaginations. Our godly weapons are mighty and full of power. So what is dunamis power? We get the word dynamite from dunamis. The Holy Spirit is dynamite power of God. Dynamite power of God is in us. Dynamite power is in us. Dynamite power is in us. Woo. We live in a culture that loves to possess political power, and also the movies also portray the love, the idea of mortals possessing authority and abilities to be superheroes. These are pursued outside of God's plan and design. The power can become very destructive, can it? Destructive force. But when God's power, dunamis power, lives inside of us, we can be used by him as an unstoppable force for God. We have to start believing what the Bible says, who we are. An unstoppable force. That's incredible. In Ephesians 6:10, it says to stand victorious with the force of his explosive power flowing in and through you. Explosive. Are we explosive? By faith, at least? Come on. In 2 Corinthians 4:7, it describes us as clay jars or vessels that carry this glorious treasure within, so that the extraordinary overflow of power will be seen as God's, not ours. God wants us to show forth his power on this earth. In Corinthians 4:20, it says, "For the kingdom realm comes with power and not simply impressive words." What does it say? Woo! Where'd that come from? Glory. Hallelujah. Again, I have to repeat what was brought to me at my attention last week's message. Some of the churches are sick and weak because they don't teach or preach the whole truth in the fullness of God's word. When you don't preach or teach all the truth, there's no revelation or faith to believe God for anything. What can you possibly stand on if you don't know the truth? They will say, "Well, if it's God's will, then God will heal me." Or, "If it's God's will, that'll happen, you know, it'll just happen." Without any prayer into it, without any belief system, without any faith, or just whatever happens, happens. That's basically how the denomination churches act. And then the enemy has an open door to kill, steal, and destroy because there's no word or power to stop them. Because we're here on this earth. Craig said it. God gave us the earth to rule and reign. It's up to us to take the authority that he gave us. Amen? We need to line our words with God's word and we will have success. Scripture has to line up with scripture. So let's look at 2 Peter 1:3. It says here, "Everything we could ever need for life and godliness has already been deposited in us by his divine power. For all this was lavished upon us through the rich experience of knowing him who has called us by name and invited us to come to him through a glorious manifestation of his goodness. As a result of this, he has given you magnificent promises," that is everything in his word we can have, "that are beyond all price, so that through the power of these tremendous promises, you can experience partnership with the divine nature by which you have escaped the corrupt desires that are of the world." Hallelujah. What a promise. Amen. Today, the Holy Spirit wants to reveal the revelation of his power, the dynamite power that is in us. If we are born again, which most of us are here born again, I believe, you can possess this power. I've said this before. On a whole, the Church of Christ, the body of Christ, has dimmed its power. Some of the religious realm teaches that the power of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues, that's our heavenly language, was only for the early church. The lie, of course, which was sown by Satan, they say that the Holy Spirit was needed to jumpstart the church, and speaking in tongues is of the devil, and it is all went out with the apostles, and it's not needed for today. Well, they are deceived. Shadabakaya. You're right. Holy Spirit's power in us may be on a low charge or no charge at all, completely dead. Holy Spirit is here today to increase our faith, to turn it on or turn it up or turn it on full power. It is up to us. You can have as much Holy Spirit power as you want. When darkness and evil comes in like a flood, God starts to move. People start to get hungry for God, and they start to cry out. All revivals and moves of God come because of some kind of calamity, darkness of some kind, or a war in Israel. We are now ripe for a great awakening. Months ago, the Lord gave me an analogy or a modern-day parable to make a point. He said this to me and told me to write it down. Do you guys remember that? It was about a car? Well, he wants me to say it again. Okay, this is what Jesus gave me. He said, a wonderful giving person wants to buy you a brand new vehicle. He says to you, go to any dealership of your choosing, pick out exactly what you would like. He says, I will pay for the vehicle in full. Go and get whatever color you want, all the bells and whistles you choose, and then he says, get it fully loaded. Get the best. So you go and you pick out this brand new vehicle, fully loaded. So when it is ready, go and pick it up. The dealership hands you the keys, the paperwork, and the vehicle manual so you know exactly how to take care of the vehicle. In the manual, it tells you what kind of oil to put in and how much it needs. It tells you all about the maintenance and the checkups it needs. The manual is for you to keep and to have a reference to the vehicle so the vehicle will always run smoothly and to get the best performance in life of the vehicle. So now you're excited, and you can't wait to get into your new vehicle and take off in it. So you get in it, it smells and looks so good. You just I could relate to this now. When I got it, I didn't have a new vehicle. You just love the smell of the new vehicle, so you go to start it up, and it won't start. So nothing in the vehicle is working. All the bells and whistles that you had put in it aren't working. So then you get out of the vehicle and you search for the man from the dealership to come out and get the vehicle to start. He lifts the hood and he realizes that maybe the battery wasn't charged. So he gets someone to come out to charge the battery and then he says, try to start it again. So you get back in the vehicle and it starts right up. It's running now on full power, and everything else is working that you put in the vehicle, including an awesome sound system that is playing worship music. And you take off, and you're so happy, and you're just praising the Lord. You can really relate to this, right? So Jesus explains the parable, which probably you get, but he says, we are like the brand new vehicle. Jesus, our Savior, gave us a free gift of salvation. He brought us with a price. It was paid in full on the cross. We became a new creation. He gave us his word, and in his word is everything we need to be victorious in this life. The word is the Bible, our life manual. He also gave us the Holy Spirit, the fullness of his spirit, but we have to choose to allow him to ignite us with his power. When we do, and we are fully charged with his Holy Spirit power, the full immersion of his power, with this power we have access to all the fruit of the Spirit, all the gifts of the Spirit, and everything we need in this life to run the race and to finish the line victoriously and happy. That's what he says. The Holy Spirit is our power source. With this power, the enemy doesn't have a chance. In Luke 10, 17 to 20, it tells us about our authority. Let's turn there. Luke 10, 17 to 20. Is that right? Oh, yeah, it is. Okay. We'll start in 17. When the 70 missionaries returned to Jesus, they were all ecstatic with joy, telling him, "Lord, even the demons obeyed us when we commanded them in your name." Jesus replied, "While you were ministering, I watched Satan tumble until he fell suddenly from heaven like a lightning to the ground. Now you understand that I have imparted to you all my authority to trample over his kingdom. You will trample upon every demon before you and overcome every power Satan possesses. Absolutely nothing will be able to harm you as you walk in this authority. However, your real source of joy isn't merely that these spirits submit to your authority, but that your names are written in the journals of heaven and that you belong to God's kingdom. This is the true source of your authority." We have all authority to rule and reign on this earth. Now I'm going to end with Mark 16, which everybody should know by heart, but let's look at that. Mark 16, 15. And Jesus' last word said to his disciples, he said to them, "As you go into the world, preach openly the wonderful news of the gospel to the entire human race. Whoever believes the good news and is baptized will be saved, and whoever does not believe the good news will be condemned. And these miracle signs will accompany those who believe. They will drive out demons in the power of my name. They will speak in tongues. They will be supernaturally protected from snakes and from drinking anything poisonous. And they will lay hands on the sick and heal them." After saying these things, Jesus was lifted up into heaven and sat down at the place of honor at the right hand of God. And the apostles went out announcing the good news everywhere as the Lord himself consistently works with them, validating the message they preached with miracle signs that accompanied them. He is always with us. We are one. Don't be afraid to lay hands on anybody. Don't be afraid to speak the word of God. He will back you up. But he's always working. He needs to work through us. He's not here. That's why we're here. We are his voice. We are his hands. We are his feet. And the only way anybody's going to know the good news is through us. By the power of the Holy Spirit. Dynamite power. Dynamite. Powerful power that we have in us. That's right. I know everyone here is saved. And if you're not, please come up. Because your time is running out here, guys. Salvation is needed today. If you want any kind of prayer today, we're here for you. You want an increase of power in your life, we'll pray that you will get an increase. So come on up. We have produce in the back, and we have pumpkins. We have extra pumpkins there. You could take them home and do with them as you will. Pumpkin pie, pumpkin seeds. Not jack-o'-lanterns, okay? We don't do anything demonic. And God made the pumpkins. Okay. If you need to go back there, go ahead. All right, I'll be up here if you need prayer for anything. Steve and Carla are here, so don't be shy. Come on up. Go with God in his power. Okay.